Have you ever wondered if God is actually at work in your life? Like, if you're a Christian, you probably feel like God is at work in your life. But if you're not a Christian, or maybe you haven't gone to church in a while, you might think to yourself, well, how can God be working in my life? I mean, I haven't been going to church. I haven't been doing the things that maybe I was taught I should be doing. Well, in this Easter Sunday message from our senior pastor, Margrey de Vega, we're going to learn about something called prevenient grace, which is this idea, distinctly Methodist idea, that God is already at work in our lives, whether we do anything about it or not. And so if you're listening to this message or you stumbled on this YouTube video and you're sensing that maybe God is at work in your life, stick around because you're going to hear a little bit about how God has already been working. And you're going to see how God was at work in the resurrection of Jesus, bringing new hope to the world. Check it out.
Let's pray together. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout history, stretching back to our most ancient civilizations, we have been fascinated by large rocks. We look at the Great Pyramids in Egypt and we wonder how they made them without the use of modern equipment. We look at Stonehenge and we wonder not just how, but why. Few things fill us with more awe than large stones. They make us feel smaller when we stand next to them and more helpless when we try to move them. That was certainly the case for the women who first approached the tomb on the first Easter morning. Mark tells us that they were carrying their heavy grief over the loss of Jesus and a heavy sense of duty in wanting to treat his dead body with dignity. But the biggest burden they carried was in wondering how to move that large stone that was sealing the entrance to the tomb. Many of us are carrying similar burdens today. Sadness and grief, worry and anxiety, concern for the state of the world and our relationships. You can fill in the blank, and then you can wonder, just like these women, how do we move those stones? 12 years ago, the Los Angeles Museum debuted an art installation called Levitated Mass, which is, as the name suggests, a large, imposing boulder that appears to be suspended in the air. It was the brainchild of Michael Heiser, who began envisioning this art piece back in 1968. So he spent nearly 44 years of his life contemplating one thing: how to move a large stone. He found the perfect rock in Riverside, California. It was some 340 tons. That's 115 tons heavier than the Statue of Liberty. The big challenge: how to move it from Riverside to the Los Angeles Museum, over 100 miles away. So after years of contemplation, he came up with a plan. A crane hoisted it onto a specially made 200-foot-long flatbed truck. It had 196 wheels mounted on 44 axles, moving at a whopping speed of 7 miles an hour. They avoided highways and interstates, and it took 11 days of driving. And when the stone finally arrived at the museum, over 1,000 people gathered to watch it meet its final resting place and be installed. It then became a very precise, very painstaking process of hoisting the boulder off the truck, suspending the boulder, and anchoring the boulder so that visitors to this day can go to the Los Angeles Museum and not only walk around it, but under it, marveling at how this giant, life-crushing boulder seems to hover above them. And every step of the way, a huge crowd watched this huge stone being rolled along. 9 years ago, a filmmaker produced a documentary about Levitated Mass that you can watch on Apple TV. Here's the trailer.
Mike told me, whatever you do, don't let them do it to that rock. I want it. I've been looking for this one for 30 or 40 years.
He said, this is it. You know, this is the Colossi of Memnon. This has the scale of those kinds of ancient forms. And of course, then I stepped back and said, is anybody going to understand this?
Working on a rock? What do you mean you're working on a rock? How do you work on a rock?
This one's odd. This one is odd.
The thing about working with heavy objects, once it starts moving, it becomes really expensive if you have to stop the process.
They're going to build a structure and they're going to put it on top.
Who else would go and do this? I mean, I don't think you transform artistic practices by being rational and sane.
It's been a pain in the neck. That's what it's been.
This giant white wrapped thing with like an escort of police officers.
And who's to say that that rock is really a rock and it's not something else? Styrofoam around it?
I know everyone is not really here to see a rock, so what's really going on outside?
All of a sudden it became this like celebrity, this rock.
We're rock chasers now.
That's the one.
Big, 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 big.
The rock.
Yeah, there it is, buddy, look.
Rocks!
The rock!
The rock!
Woo! I live right behind a damn thing when it pulled up here.
I think it's nuts.
I think it's phenomenal.
It's a waste. It's not art. It came from nature.
I am so excited. This is like the coolest.
It parked right in front of my house, and it's just like nothing really happens on this street, and now something amazing just happened.
But here's a big difference between Mr. Heiser's moving of that stone in front of large crowds and what the women experienced that first Easter. Because according to Mark's gospel, when the women finally arrived at the empty tomb, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. There was no crowd when it happened in real time. These women discovered that the resurrection had already occurred. Here's how Mark's gospel puts it. Quote, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. So for these first eyewitnesses to the resurrection, Easter was a past tense event. The resurrection had already happened. They didn't arrive at the empty tomb to experience the resurrection live. They arrived at the tomb to live in the resurrection. And here's something else. In some of the other gospels, Jesus was there to meet them. Like in John, Jesus is there to meet Mary, who thinks he's the gardener, but not here. In Mark, not only do the women arrive after the resurrection has occurred, but they don't yet meet the resurrected Jesus. Instead, here's what Mark says. Quote, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you. So what do we make of this unique resurrection story from Mark? What does it mean to be too late to see the resurrection live, but too early to see the resurrected Jesus? We discover the meaning for our lives when we look at the message of this angel, this messenger. And we notice his verb tenses in verses 6 and 7. And there we find this astonishing truth that God does the work of resurrection in your past, in your present, and in your future. Look at the verb tenses. First, verse 6, God did the work of resurrection before the women realized it. Quote, he has been raised. And then God showed them evidence of the resurrection in the very present moment. Quote, he is not here. And then finally in verse 7, God was already in their future, preparing resurrection and new life for them. Quote, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Past, present, and future, all in one statement, all in one glorious moment of life-changing realization for these women and for us. In a place where the women arrived expecting the heavy stones of death and despair, knowing that they could not face this burden alone, they realized they were not alone because God had preceded them in resurrecting Jesus. God had gone ahead of them to prepare resurrection in their future so that they could experience resurrection here and now. It was true for them. It is very true for you. In Mark's Easter Gospel, the power of the resurrection through Christ can redeem your past. It can redeem the lingering guilt and shame of your yesterdays. It can redeem the real-time struggle and suffering of our present days. And it can redeem the fear and anxiety of our tomorrows. God's resurrection power is timeless. It is resilient. And it is always with us. So think about your life. Consider your life as a grand sweeping timeline of your journey on earth with all of its highs and its lows and its bright spots and its shadows, and you will very likely discover this truth. It's a truth that was central to John Wesley's understanding of grace. God has always been at work in your life. God is working in your life, and God will always be at work in your life, past, present, and future. So first of all, think about how God has been working in your past, even in ways that you were not fully aware at the time. God was drawing you closer to Jesus through sometimes subtle glimpses of God's love for you. And you can notice it now, in retrospect, the unexpected moments when God spoke to you, cared for you, protected you, even before you acknowledged God's love for you. We United Methodists call this prevenient grace, which comes before our realization of it. God has been in your history in ways you can only see it now. Number two, God is in your present. You may not see it fully now, just as you could not see it fully in real time back then. You might even be doubtful about God's distance or pondering God's absence, but God's grace is resilient, and it is very present. And it leads to what John Wesley called justifying grace, which is a moment of humility and surrender to God's resurrection power in you. And that grace is available to you now, today, if you will welcome it into your life. And the most reassuring good news is this: God is already ahead of you, preparing resurrection in your future. There are brighter days ahead as God's relentless grace prepares you and molds you and shapes you more and more into the image of Jesus so that you can live the abundant life that God intends for you. This is what Wesley called the sanctifying grace of God, in which God accompanies you into the vast unknown of your future, using you to make a difference in ways you cannot yet see. There you go. This is the threefold power of the resurrection, and it is basic to our understanding of grace. God has worked in your past, God is working right now in your present, and God is working on into your future. He has been raised, he is not here, he is ahead of you. Which brings us back to artist Michael Heiser and the gigantic boulder that became the artistic wonder called Levitated Mass. As that huge rock was traveling along its slow 100-mile journey through four California counties and 22 cities, people gathered at every step to marvel at it passing by. It elicited a wide range of reactions. Some were confused, some were critical, some thought it was a gigantic waste of money. And then there were those who did what we often do as humans when we stand in front of large stones. They took the opportunity to reflect on their human existence, to ponder their lives, to take in the wonder of it all. Well, as it was going through a town in California called Boyle Heights, The engineers encountered a bit of a logistical problem, and they had to stop for a while to figure it out. It turns out they stopped that large boulder in front of a church. And it immediately became the center of attention for that congregation and the nearby community. And in addition to snapping selfies and videos in front of it, parishioners used it as an opportunity to pray and ponder God. Many of them said they saw it as a miracle. It was, in a way, a miracle of modern engineering, a miracle of one man's creativity, and in a theological sense, it was a miraculous reminder to these people of the miracle of God's grace. How this rock, like God's grace, was already in motion before it got to them in Boyle Heights, California. How they were there to see it in its magnificence in that present moment. And how it was going on before them, where they could journey to meet it in all of its glory, literally down the road. That is the way God's grace works in our lives. And that grace really is a miracle. And by the way, the name of that church that became an unexpected rest stop for the levitated mass, you'll love this. It's called the Rock of Salvation Church. Happy Easter, everyone. Let us pray. God, you raised Jesus from the dead, and you claimed ultimate victory over all that weighs humanity down. So thank you for working in our lives before we realized it, working in our future before we can see it. Help us to see your resurrection in every present moment as we surrender ourselves to you in joy and freedom, one step at a time. In the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I hope you found that message helpful. Maybe for you it was a new way to think about how God can work in your life, that God really is always present, always there before you even knew it. Kind of like that rock that was kind of just there moving before this community even knew it was there, and then it's passing them by and all of a sudden they're very present that it is there and among them. I hope this message resonated with you. You can take some next steps in our community by going to the notes below. Down below, we have a link to our next steps page. We have reflection questions, ways that you can go deeper with this content. And starting next week, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called The Highs and Lows of Life. And we're going to be looking at the ups and downs that we feel emotionally, but what's really interesting is we're going to be looking at them through a book in the Bible called Psalms. If you flip your Bible up and right to the center, you'll probably land in it. It's a book of poetry, and it's prayers that real people wrote to God, expressing the highs and lows of their lives, joys, and then deep, deep hurt and loss as well. So throughout that series, we'll connect our own experiences with ancient prayers that people prayed. So I hope you will join us for that, and I'll see you then. Have a happy Easter.